Buenas tardes, hermanos. O buenos días, según usted está mirándolo. Welcome. Good afternoon, or good evening, or good morning, as it may be. This will be the English preaching of the sermon that we'll be preaching on Sunday morning in Spanish at 10:30 in the morning. So this will be a little briefer than the Spanish one, perhaps, but you'll get the main ideas about God's purpose and plan in marriage. He has a number of purposes, and when we get close to the Lord Jesus, we find out how joyful it can be to live for Jesus and to live together for Jesus, even in a marriage. Well, we'll invite you, first of all, to listen to or sing along with one of our Spanish hymns that we taped a while back when we were in the church together, and then we'll be able to look together at the Word of God. So enjoy the music, sing along in Spanish if you like to, and then we'll go on and look at the next part of the service.
Es himno tomado de Romanos capítulo 8. Qué bueno saber que nada nos puede separar del amor de Dios. 346, cantando con entendimiento, pensando en las palabras para la gloria del Señor.
El amor divino, ¿quién me apartará? Escondido en Cristo, ¿quién me acordará?
Well, good afternoon or good morning again. We'd like to look together in Genesis chapter 2 this morning, continuing with our series of the family and the Bible and how we can have happy families and happy homes. And for young people preparing perhaps for that future family, just to have a happy life living for Jesus, waiting for God to bring that chosen one to him or to her. But today, we're going to be looking at God's purposes in marriage. Genesis 1, verse 31 says, God made all very good, from especially the time he made man and woman and brought them together. He didn't just say it was good, it was very good. John 10:10 says that when Jesus came, he came to give life and give it abundantly or joyfully. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. This is God's plan from the very beginning. If we will know what His purpose is for our lives and for marriage, then we'll find things are very good. Things are abundant life. Things are joyful and with peace. Says in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Deuteronomy 24:5, it says soldiers stayed home for a year after they were married to be happy with his wife. This is God's plan. That first year is always the happiest year, but God wanted to solidify the family. And if you had joined the army or they were going off to war, God said for the Israelites in the Old Testament, you just got married, you need 1 year to be happy with your wife. And then it says in Proverbs 5:18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Your children should be blessed and you yourself should rejoice with the wife of your youth. This was God's plan. This was God's purpose to get Him glory by making our lives happy so we would be joyful, with the Lord. Well, let's pray, and then we're going to see four different purposes that God has for marriage in Genesis 2. Next week, we'll probably continue with the last couple of verses of Genesis 2 and finish these purposes of marriage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be joyful in your plans for our life. And when you bring us into a marriage and have us have children, help it to fulfill your purpose, your plan, so that we can be joyful and you can be glorified. And we'll thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, look with me, if you will, at Genesis 2 and verse 9 here. The first purpose that God has for our lives, for our marriages, for our families, is that we should be able to serve God happily in the place where God has placed us. Genesis 2, 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good. God wanted our life to be pleasant and good. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. He wanted man, if he showed his faith in the Lord, one day to have eternal life and eat of that tree of life. And so it is that Jesus is our tree of life. Now that we've sinned, we've been cast out of the Garden of Eden, we find our tree of life in Christ, who died for us, who's the bread of life, who gives us life. Verse 15, Genesis 2, 15. We're going to jump from verse 9 to 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. God's first purpose in our life is to be in a certain place on the earth, to do a certain job with the gifts, the talents that God has given us. And he's going to form a home in that place to be able to serve him and glorify him. I think the first lesson that God gives us here, talking about this being a good place and a pleasant place, is that God is teaching us to be content in the place where God has put us. Now, be in the place where God has put us. If God's called you to live in Antioch, California, where we are, serve the Lord there. If God's called you to another city or state, or God's called you to live in another country, stay where God has put you and serve God there. And you're going to find that working for God, where He has put you, if we're in the place where God has put us, will give us great joy and happiness, and we should learn to be content there. How many times do we want to change our situation and go somewhere else that's going to be richer or more peaceful? But God says, no, you're going to be happier in the place where I have put you. Be content there, because God gives us talents to serve Him. It says He put man there to dress and keep the garden. He was to be a gardener, it seems like. And so it is that when we do what God has gifted us to do, our lives will be pleasant. It'll be happy. If we try to do something else, it's torture. It's difficult in life. It's always hard. It's always difficult. But the fact is, when you're where God wants, as a preacher, it's like, do people really pay me? Does God lead people to pay me to be a pastor, a preacher? I enjoy it. I'm happy with what God has given me to do and in the place where God has given to me to do it. I speak to others who are gardeners and they can't think of doing anything else but gardening. The fact is, if God has put you into a place and given you talents to do something in that place, stay where God has put you, do what God has given to you to do, work for Him. There's joy in work, it's saying. For young people, remember that. It's pleasant. It's good to do the job God's called you to do. Now, if you're not happy doing what you're doing, maybe it's because you need to get right with God and be sure that He's giving you the joy of the Lord in your heart, the fruit of the Spirit that's joy, and make sure you're in the place that God has called you to be. And so we'll find that that's pleasant. Romans 12, verse 2 says that we should present our bodies, in verse 1, a living sacrifice to God, and prove, or try, test, put into practice God's will for our lives, because it says, prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. If you're out of God's will, your life is never going to be as happy as it could be. Number one, purpose of God and marriage is to be able to help us to work together to serve God and to work, providing for our needs, in the place where God has given us and be content doing God's will in God's place for us. Number two, second purpose is verse 18. Genesis 2:18 says, the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. God made him a help meet for him, or others translate that, a helper that is fit for him. Like two pieces of the puzzle that don't fit anywhere else in the puzzle, but they're meet for each other. They're fit for each other, and they fit together in the puzzle. Just like in a car, you have different parts for different cars. This might be an alternator for one car, but it's not fit for another car. God has given us a wife, a family. For young people, He's given you parents that are fit for you, that are meet for you. They are the ones to help you, and you're to help them to be truly happy and grow in God's grace with the gifts that God's given us in that place where God has put us. He's then given us a helper to be able to fulfill His will in that place. So, number one, be in the place where God has put you. And number two, find the help meet that God has for you and be a help fit or meet for that person. And you'll find that you'll be a lot happier, because it says in Genesis 2:22, the rib that the Lord had taken from man, He made into a woman and brought her to man. Notice that that rib out of him was made for him. And so the woman made from that rib was made for him also. And they were therefore meet or fit to work together. It's one flesh. They'll work together better than with any other flesh joined to them. I might cut off my arm and God gives me another arm from somebody who was dying, and so they donated that arm, but it's never going to be the same as the arm that was fit for me, meet for me from my birth. And that's the way it is with marriage, where you might get separated, but the thing is, God has given you a husband and a wife, especially to the man given a wife, that is fit for him. Exactly what he needs. Oh, I don't want this wife. Oh, it's what you need. It's exactly what we need, because it says God made her, then brought her unto Him. God brought the wife that God chose. He knows best. God expected that man would rejoice and give thanks for her without complaints, even knowing that she was going to fall and eat of the fruit, and that would destroy their time in the Garden of Eden. He was still to be with her, and He took of her sin and went with her out of the garden. You know, Adam couldn't save his wife by taking her sin and doing the same sin she did. But Jesus, the second Adam, never sinned. But He took our sin on Himself that He might suffer our condemnation in our place. Once Adam sinned, he had to suffer his own condemnation. He couldn't suffer Eve's condemnation. But here we find that with Jesus Christ, when He is the second Adam, is condemned for us, it's for something He never did wrong. It's for our sin. And so He can take our condemnation by dying for us. He is our heavenly Lord, our heavenly husband. We are as His heavenly wife, and He died for us. He saved us. He is the helper that we need, the Lord. is my help. And here on earth then, God says, look, I am your main helper, but I'm going to give you on earth a wife that's meet or fit to help you. Accept it without complaint. She's not going to be perfect. You're not perfect. But the fact of the matter is, God presented her to him as the one he had planned. Let us be content with the family God has given us. For the young people, with the parents that God has given you. For the husband and wife, with the husband or wife that God has given us. He presented her to man. That's sort of a legal ceremony before God, the judge, to say, will you take this wife? And Adam received her as a permanent covenant before God. Malachi 3:14 says that it was a covenant, something that was permanent, that before God, until death do them part, when he received the wife. You know, we can't just live together as a boyfriend, girlfriend, and immorality and fornication. We need to wait for the person God's going to give to us, and then he gives us that person in a ceremony that's public, that's official, that's godly, that's a dedication to God, and makes a pact between the husband, the wife, and the two of them with God. It's a pact with God that I'm going to be faithful till death do us part. And that's what makes them happy when they're together and say, I'm going to be your helpmeet, help you till death do us part. Help meet. Notice that he didn't make them equal, identical. He made them different, but complementary. He made them distinct, but where one had a talent, the other didn't have it. Where Eve had a talent, Adam didn't have it. They were meant to help each other, to fulfill each other. The battery can't work in the car without gasoline. They have to work together. In a marriage, God has made it where you'll never be completely happy without the wife that God has planned for you. He wants you to be together. That's God's divine purpose, that they should help each other. And he formed them in such a way that together they could form God's purposes better than they could individually, especially as a pastor. I can't visit easily in a lot of homes, because if there's just a woman in the home, I'm not going to go in. It would be a bad testimony. And so I'm glad God has given me a wife, because together we can go in. Or she can deal with the woman, or we can deal with her together. But the thing is, our ministry is expanded. There are things I can't do. Raising the children as a woman can do it. I depend on my wife for so many things. There are things I can't, that she can't do, that she depends on me to do, and especially raising boys. A lot of times she say, you're the husband, and God needs you as the man to help with these boys. I just can't do it the same as a man, as a father can. So God has a divine purpose, and he formed us in a way that we could achieve his purposes better working together than individually. And each of us can do things the other can't do well, but we're dependent on each other to do what God wants. He made us in such a way that we could not fulfill God's will without the help of the other. For example, we need a man and a woman just to have children, and then to raise the children really properly in an easier way. Praise God for single fathers, single mothers who's doing their best to raise their children. But they know, and everyone knows, it's a lot better when the two work together to do that. God's plan is that we should be able to work together. A lot of things we can't do as missionaries unless we're married. And so as a result, God says, a car needs oil and gas, we could say. Cookies need flour and liquid to make a cookie. But the fact is that that's why a man needs a wife. It's not good that he be alone to fulfill God's promises. She is to be a help fit, to give encouragement. She's made to give him encouragement. She's a help meet or fit to give him confidence and build him up, as well as to help in mutual spiritual growth and satisfy each other emotionally, to satisfy each other physically. God has given each other to do that. And we need to believe that the person God has given, even if they don't fulfill all the things they should do to encourage us and help us like we really need, still they're the best for us, or God wouldn't have given us that wife. And we need to be content with that in order to fulfill God's purpose. See our need of each other. She is what we need to be the man that God wants us to be. So we shouldn't get irritated with her for wanting to be a help meet and help us better. Now, sometimes a woman wants to help us in a way that irritates us, but it's the best for us. And we need to say, thank you, God, for the help that's neat for me, fit for me. What I deserve and what I need is this wife. Thank you for her. The third thing we have as a purpose of God is to have joy in raising children together for Christ. We're going to go backwards and forward on this to see two verses, Genesis 1:27, where God said that the man and the woman were to have children and fill the earth. And so then it says they need to help each other when they're having children by helping to avoid fornication and be able to be satisfied with each other in an honorable marriage. In Genesis 2:23, Adam said, "She shall be bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." We're going to talk about that next week in a different way to understand God's purpose for us. But verse 25, it says, "And they were both naked, the man and the wife, and were not ashamed." It says in Hebrews 13, verses 4 and 5, Hebrews 13:4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers, adulterers, fornicators, adulterers, God will judge. Let your life be without covetousness." Don't covet something outside of marriage, but be content with such things as you have. For God has said, Jesus has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The fact of the matter is that God says we should be open with each other. They were naked and open to each other. No shame in having a relationship in marriage. But if we're not married with that covenant between us and God, then we should be ashamed. But within marriage, that's God's way to keep us pure, to keep us not desiring fornication or adultery, because God's given us the wife. Young people get their strength in sports and in activities to use their energy. And one day, they'll get extra strength and extra joy when they can get married and wait until marriage to come together. And that's honorable. That's glorious, to come together as a husband and wife. First to have children and then to raise the children for God's glory, as well as for the joy of being together as a husband and a wife. So God made us in a relationship of mutual dependence to have and raise children. And a second thing there is for our own holiness and joy. That relationship of husband and wife helps us to have children. And then together we're able to raise children. But that relationship is also to help us to be holy, to keep us sanctified, and to give pleasure and joy that we can have to praise God for that marriage. It says in 1 Corinthians 7, "It is good that a man not touch a woman." It's good if you can always not even be married, but not have relations with another woman. If you could be celibate, then great. But nevertheless, because men generally and women are tempted to that pleasure, Then, to avoid fornication, it says, 1 Corinthians 7:2, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. And let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. She has a right to those pleasures of having children and coming together. And likewise, the wife render unto husband what is his due for getting married, so that you can help him to be holy and sanctified. That's what it says in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. All else were your children unclean, but now they are sanctified or holy. Now that's the idea of being placed apart for God's blessing, to be sanctified and holy. But the fact is, they're saying even an unbelieving husband or wife is set apart for special blessings of God just because they're married and faithful to the Christian in the home. And the Christian in the home is faithful to them, so it helps them, even as an unbeliever, to be sanctified. And the children, seeing that example of a mother and a father who are faithful to each other, they themselves are set apart for God's blessing and set apart from other temptations to sins. But the fact of the matter is that a wife needs to be faithful to her husband, even if he's an unbeliever. And this chapter talks about don't get divorced. You might have to be separated if he's threatening you, but don't get divorced. Just have the separation and pray that God can make him calm and you can come together again in his time. But the fact is that it says, if you say, I'm going to get out of there, then you're putting him in temptation and you're putting the children in temptation by separating the husband and the wife. The fact is that God made us for mutual dependence so that we could be holy, happy, and raise children the way God wants. But we can't do it by ourselves. We need a husband or a wife in God's time. And then God will help us to have the children if He wants us to, and at least to help each other to avoid fornication, be sanctified and holy for His glory. And at the same time, it's a joyful thing to come together. And it makes us praise God for giving us marriage. And that joy of coming together and having children and raising children, and the pleasure of coming together for God's glory. Then to finish, in the fourth thing, the fourth purpose that we'll look at now, the last one, Genesis 2:23, encourage each other. Encourage each other by identifying with each other, by being best friends and taking each other's identity. Somebody says, that person is bad, and you say, hey, that's my friend, and you're best friends. And all the more when you're married, to be loyal, firm, faithful for each other. Genesis 2:23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. No matter if she does bad or whatever, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. I'm going to call her Isha in Hebrew because she was taken out of Ish, man, woman, taken out of man. The idea here is that they are going to be best friends. They're going to be identified with each other by carrying the same name. Woman, as if saying the wife of the man, of this man, of Adam. And so it is that in America, at least, when we get married, the woman takes the man's last name to show that they are of one name, to show that they're loyal to each other, that they're defending each other, that they identify with each other, and they're proud of that identity and that friendship. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, says, the wife speaking, saying, he is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether desirable or lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. We should say, I'm glad to take his name to show everybody that my husband is my friend and I am his friend. That means we'll be loyal to each other till death do us part. And God made us. And the purpose of God is so that we could be encouraged by having an identity with another, by being identified by another as their best friend, as well as their spouse. Man and woman, they're proud to identify with each other, even as more than friends bearing the same name. You know, that starts when we make our best friend Jesus Christ, and we say, I'll carry His name. I will be a Christian, a Christian. I will be glad to carry the name of Christ because He is my best friend. I'll give my life for Him. And that's when He comes into our heart and our life. And when others, like the husband or the wife, are unfaithful, or Eve sins and Adam sins and problems come into the family, they then find that they can still be friends. They can still be joined together. They can still come together as one flesh. They can still raise the children together. They can still be joyful together. They can fulfill God's purpose of helping each other as being a help meet or fit for each other, and especially the wife for the husband. They can then come together and have that joy that God wants them to have. Fact is, next time we'll talk about He will leave His father and mother and they will be joined together. But for today, let us get close to Jesus as our heavenly husband and then have a close relationship to Him. Always be His best friend and depend on Him to help us to see people saved, become spiritual children, our sons and daughters who are one to Christ by us spiritually. And then He is the one who will raise them with our instrumentality, using us to help Him, we can say, to disciple others. But the thing is, when we're really close to God, that's when joy comes. That's when happiness comes. When we live a holy life, and that closeness to the Lord is what really sanctifies us. He's the one who sanctifies us. But He uses a husband and a wife to be able to sanctify, to help, to encourage each other. And that's God's purpose in marriage. Four of the purposes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Father, that Jesus died for us and that He is our heavenly beloved, our heavenly husband, we could say, and we as the church are His heavenly spouse. Thank You, Father, for that relationship that gives us joy, fulfillment in life, to know that we are His helpmeet. We help Jesus in doing the work of the ministry. But He is our Lord, and our purpose in life is to help Him. But help us on earth to fulfill His will in helping each other, to be joyful, to have that pleasure that marriage should afford, to have children, to raise them, and to help each other to do God's will so that He can be glorified. Help us, we pray. Glorify Your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us. If you can be with us at 10:30 in the morning here in the church, we'll be outside. It'll be cold this weekend, so bring gloves, bring a coat, and pray that the government of California will let us start meeting inside again, even in the next week or so. But may the God bless you. If you can be with us at 10:30, at 6 o'clock Sunday night, Pastor Seth will give a devotional message from 1 Timothy chapter 1. We invite you to listen to that. It's a great blessing. And Wednesday night, we'll be giving also a time of prayer together. If the government allows us to be in the church, we'll be together in church. If not, then I'll come online and we'll take your prayer requests and give a Bible study, especially about John the Baptist. So God bless you now. We trust that you'll have a wonderful day for God's glory. Amen. Thank you.